Tasya his. Hava certainly. Eta all these. Sloka verses. Priyavarta by the king Priyavarta. Kritam done. Karma activities. Kaha who. Nu then. Kuryat can execute. Vina without. Iswara the supreme personality of Godhead. Ya one who. Nemi of the rim of the wheels of his chariot. Nimei by the depression. Karat mad. Chayam darkness. Granan dissipating. Sapta seven. Varidhin oceans. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. There are many famous verses regarding Maharaj Priyavarta's activities. No one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead could do what Maharaj Priyavarta has done. Maharaj Priyavarta dissipated the darkness of night with the rims of his great chariot by excavating seven oceans. There are many excellent verses, famous all over the world, concerning the activities of Maharaj Priyavarta. He is so celebrated that his activities are compared to those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes a sincere servant and a devotee of the Lord is also called Bhagavan. Sri Narada is called Bhagavan. And Lord Shiva and Vyasadeva are also sometimes called Bhagavan. The designation Bhagavan is sometimes conferred upon a pure devotee by the grace of the Lord so that he will be very highly esteemed. Maharaj Priyavarta was such a devotee. Om Ajnanatmanandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmritam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyasya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnabhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Ghor Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here in this verse is a description of how Priyavarta excavated the earth with his chariot and made the seven oceans. So this is not an activity of an ordinary person. This activity can only be enacted if someone is invested by the powers of the Supreme Lord. Of course, Maharaj Priyavarta was one such great devotee who was invested with so much power. And why this was there? Because if we read the preceding verses to this chapter, we see that Maharaj Priyavarta, being such a great exalted devotee of the Lord, and was fully engaged in devotional service. At the same time, he was executing his duty as a king to run his kingdom and his affairs. And as a householder, he was also taking care of his household duties. Now this is a situation of a perfectly situated person who executes everything according to his duty, which is his dharma. Now many times we find in the scriptures the word dharma is mentioned. The Prabhupada explains the word dharma means that is one's occupation. Of course, in the modern context today, due to lack of language translation, generally when we say dharma, dharma means religion. But religion is completely different from what is dharma. So actually, in order to explain what dharma really means in the context of Sanskrit language, Prabhupada gives an analogy, saying that the dharma of water is to make wet. dharma of the fire is to burn. So what is the dharma of a human being? The dharma of a human being is to execute devotional service. And not just execute devotional service, but the mood of devotional service should be such that it should be simply for the pleasure of the Lord. So many times when we come to Krishna consciousness and we hear devotees preach to us, and we preach to everyone, and we try to awaken in their heart the dormant love of Godhead, which is already there. You know, the famous talk where Prabhupada gives the explanation of the Hare Krishna mantra, where he says, this is not an artificial imposition of the mind. This is the natural constitutional position of the living entity. And what is the natural position of the living entity? It's to love the Supreme Lord Krishna. So that is already there. Prabhupada explains that because of many, many lifetimes of being associated with material energy in the modes of material nature, we become forgetful of our nature, our dharma. And therefore, we begin to associate our activities according to our bodily attachments, according to our body, our bodily needs. So we find all over the universe, not just this world, but all over the universe, all living entities who are endowed with the material body are simply thinking about eating, sleeping, mating and defending, and nothing beyond. Unless and until some great devotee comes along and simply out of his causeless compassion, his heart for the suffering living entities, he gives you the knowledge and awakens your original position and shows you your direction, that your direction is to serve the Supreme Lord for His pleasure. Now when we, as I said, when we are preaching or when we are preached to, we say you must execute devotional service. Why? Because devotional service will free us from the bondage of material existence. But here we see in the activities of Priyavarta, it is not that he is executing devotional service to free himself from these attachments. He is already a glorious devotee of the Lord. He is executing devotional service. But while executing his devotional service and his duties to be fulfilled as a king, he is thinking that all these are an impediment in my service to the Lord. So I have to give it all up. I have to be free. So when we read this, we find that in order to execute the mood of devotional service according to Priyavarta, it will be very, very difficult for us. We come to Krishna consciousness simply because we are frustrated in this material world, and some great person comes along and says, you are suffering this world because you are separated from the Supreme Lord. You have to reconnect yourself with the Supreme Lord. And here is the wonderful process, how to connect yourself with the Supreme Lord. The process is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Simply chant Hare Krishna. Chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will free you from all these anxieties, from all this suffering. So then we have a motivation. We come simply because we want to be freed from all this suffering. But the real mood of devotion is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That you come to the platform devotional service with ahoituki, without any motivation, without any mixed understanding, just purely for the pleasure of the Lord. So actually, this is what we are all endeavoring for, that platform where we can understand our true position and therefore engage in the service simply for the pleasure of the Lord, not for any other means. But the means to reach this stage is some understanding of scriptural references where the scriptures are directing us to become fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord. So here we see that Priyavarta has been glorified in the verses, and Prabhupada mentions here that there are many, many verses all over the universe glorifying Maharaj Priyavarta. Now why Maharaj Priyavarta was glorified? Because he was connected with the Supreme Person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when you are being connected with the Supreme Lord, then you also become glorious. So when a devotee fully surrenders to the Supreme Lord, then he becomes truly glorious. And he is worthy of all respect and honor. Now you see this culture very much vibrant in this country. You know, when you are dressed in your civilian cloth, and you go there, and people see you, may show you some respect. Otherwise, they will just consider you as another ordinary person. Sometimes you are recognized as some wealthy person, then someone may respect you because of your wealth. Someone may respect you because of your fame. But when we come to Krishna consciousness, we shave our heads, we wear dhoti and kurta, we decorate our body, the forehead with the tilak, wear a kunti mala, automatically people will fold hands and show you respect. Even though we haven't reached that platform of perfect devotional service or a perfect devotee, but simply donning the dress of a devotee, we are shown respect and honor. Now we should consider why. Not because all of a sudden I have become a great Mahatma, someone who is walking around with effulgence and saying, he is a truly great person, I must bow down to him, I must honor him, I must show respect to him. No. But simply donning this dress code, you are declaring yourself that I want to be a devotee of the Supreme Lord. And I am following the footsteps of great acharyas. And in the process, I am willingly executing devotional service. And because of that, they see you in connection with the Supreme Lord. So that honor is not to you, but the honor is because you are connected with the Supreme Lord. Of course, Prabhupada gives the example many times. The world is full of zeros. And you can go on adding zeros. And any mathematician in this world will say, you put all the zeros together, it will still be zero. And zero has no value. In mathematical terms, it has no value. It's just a word which describes nothing. But one zero, or 10 zeros, or 10 million zeros, are nothing. But simply a unit of one, which is a very small denomination. One is very small. But that one, when you add to a zero, it has great value. Just one zero and one one, immediately from zero it becomes 10. And you put one more zero, and from 10 to 100, one more zero from 10 to 100, 100 to 1000. And as you add more zeros, it doesn't increase in values by small amount. Manyfold it increases. Why? Because of that one. So who is that one? That one is the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. And we are all zeros. So when we put ourselves in front of Krishna, then we are of great value. And when we become of great value, obviously in this material world, concept is that if something is valuable, you honor and respect. There is a glowing diamond. People will say, wow, such a beautiful diamond. You put a crystal, which is the same shape and same sparkle. What is the value? Few rupees. Nobody cares. Nobody cares to walk around with 100 rupee glass crystals around their neck. But of course it looks equally beautiful as a $1 million diamond necklace. ordinary person, he cannot tell the difference between diamond and a glass crystal. So what difference does it make? But you tell someone that you wear a necklace of glass crystals, they'll be embarrassed to wear it because it's no value. So the value comes when we are attached to the Supreme Lord. So a living entity, when he surrenders fully to the Supreme Lord, then he truly becomes glorious. Why? Because he is connected with the glorious. Otherwise, we are connected to this material world. Who cares for this material world? Anybody cares? Nobody cares. But the illusion is such, you're walking down the road and thinking, I'm such a great person. See, everybody's looking at me. And your ego gets even bigger. You're thinking, I am the center of attraction. But everyone walking down the road is thinking the same, that he is the center of attraction. So really nobody cares for nobody but yourself. And you're so proud. What foolishness. So, due to covering, we are so much controlled by these material modes, thinking we are worthy of something. But we have no value. We are zeros. We have to connect with the Supreme Lord. Therefore, when a devotee of the Lord, he comes to you and he opens your eyes and he shows you the right path, he reestablishes your constitutional position, then you become of some worth. Why? Because now you are actually going towards the glorious lotus feet of the Lord and you become properly situated. That is truly becoming glorious. So here, of course, in this chapter, we are studying the activities of Priyavarta. So Maharaj Priyavarta gave up everything for the pleasure of the Lord, because he thought every single thing in this material world is an impediment for my achieving the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Now, how much Priyavarta is thinking that even his beautiful wife, he's thinking, is an impediment. Prabhupada explains that you must give it all up for Krishna. But we are so fallen that we cannot give it all up for Krishna. So then we fall back on the most merciful, Rupa Goswami. Of course, Rupa Goswami, the greatest Vaishnava personality who came to pick us out of darkness and place us in the light. Just like here, when saying the Priyavarta Maharaj by his chariot, he dissipated the darkness. So Rupa Goswami dissipated the darkness of the world by the words he spoke to enlighten us. And one verse which we often misuse is that Rupa Goswami says, whatever is favorable in Krishna consciousness, we must use, and what is unfavorable, we must reject. So we try to take everything and says, well, I'm going to use this in the service of Krishna. So therefore it is favorable. We try to justify everything simply by misusing the mercy of Sri Rupa Goswami. But we have to truly understand when Rupa Goswami says that you reject that is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness and your devotional service, and only accept that which is truly going to bring you close to the Supreme Lord, then you hold on to that. So really there is nothing in this world that can truly bring us to the lotus feet of Krishna. But one gift which we have been given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which will definitely bring us closer to the lotus feet of the Lord, is the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now this is given to us profusely. Jai Shri Radharas Bihari. It is profusely given to us. But we do not value. We just use the chanting of the holy name, which is the priceless gem which is given to us. Simply because we know that by chanting, my heart will become purified, free from contamination, and therefore I'll become rightly situated. But the chanting of the holy name should go on continuously. If you like something, you will be attached to that. In the material world, you know, especially here in Bombay, since we are here, you know, is a center of producing useless movies. But people are so much attached to these movies. And sometimes, when you go out there and ask someone, and you say, I've seen this movie 20 times. Someone will say, I've seen 100 times. Same movie, 100 times. Why 100 times? It's the same nonsense going on for hours and hours, and he still watches that. Because he's some really illusion thinking, this is the real sense enjoyment, this is the highest. So for karmi, who are covered by this illusion, if they are attached to this and they watch 100 times a movie, it's the same movie being watched over and over and over, is, I think, a foolishness. But for him, it doesn't mean foolishness. For him, it means great enjoyment. So for us, we have got the true enjoyment, the nectar of holy name. And when we are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we are chanting for one purpose, that I want to become purified. And when we pick up a japa mala, our concentration is on the 16 counterbeats. That is our focus of attention. Actually, the focus of attention is on the sound vibration of the holy name of the Lord. That is more important. That is why he's saying one must be very attentive while chanting the holy name of the Lord. Is attentive to what? Attentive to the Lord. Hearing, chanting and remembering. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. This is the process. Now, our concentration and remembrance is here. One round done, two round done, three round done, 16 round done. Thank God my day's quota is finished now. I am free now. I can do many other things now. But what is our business? Our business is to chant Hare Krishna. We have no other business. But this is secondary. We have many things to do. I have to run around, do this, do that, go here, go there. But chanting is our real business. But we do not do that. So, if you want to truly become of some worth, then you have to connect with Krishna. And the easiest way to connect with Krishna is through chanting His holy names. And this, by the grace of the Lord Himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and profusely gave us the holy name of the Lord. And in the disciplic successor of Mahaprabhu, great, great acharyas have come. And they took great trouble to give us the holy name. Simply we have to see Srila Prabhupada. In his life, he was so wonderfully situated in the humble dwellings of Radha Damodar temple. Completely in the shelter of Sri Radha Damodar and Prabhu Goswami. But Prabhupada was not satisfied. He said, how I can sit here on my own and relish this great nectar? I would be considered a greedy and a miser person. So therefore, I have to go and give this Krishna consciousness to the whole world. And of course, his Guru Maharaj instructed him that you go and reveal this secret of the Srimad Bhagavatam to the whole world. So Prabhupada is meditating on Rupa Goswami's lotus feet and praying that allow me to go and do this great service. And then Prabhupada took great difficulty. If you read the early days of Lila Amrita, how much difficulty Srila Prabhupada had to go through the early years, simply to establish Krishna consciousness so that likes of you and me can benefit and come out of darkness and be rightly situated. So this was Prabhupada's great compassion upon us. Otherwise, who in his right mind at the age of 70 would leave the comforts and embark on a practically impossible journey? But Prabhupada did not care for his body. He didn't care for his situation. He only thought one thing. My duty is to go out and give this Krishna consciousness. Because this instruction was not only given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada to Srila Prabhupada, but it was given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to all. Yare dekho tare kaho Krishna upadesh. He said, wherever you go, whoever you meet, you give this Krishna upadesh. So it is the order of the Supreme Lord, not for one or two or three select persons. This is everyone. Now, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Bharata bhumit hoile manusha janma yar sartha kari karo paropka, so then we become very arrogant and proud. Bharata bhumi, we are born of Bharat. So therefore, we are greatly exalted person. And Mahaprabhu has directly given us the instruction to take up this mission. Sartha kari karo paropkar. Let us purify ourselves and go and give others this Krishna consciousness. But here we see that Maharaj Priyavarta, he carved the whole universe, whole earth into different lands to create harmony. But Bharatvarsha means the whole world. Not this small tract of land which we call today Bharat. This only came into existence in 1947. And officially it was declared a republic in 1950. Up to that time, the Republic of India wasn't even there. But Bharatvarsha was there because it is not some mundane creation. It is creation of the Lord. So every single person in this world is duty-bound to follow that. Of course, we are so much covered by illusion that we cannot understand our real position. So every so often, the Lord Himself comes or He sends His empowered personality to establish the righteous dharma, the dharma of men, as I said earlier on. Dharma of human being is to connect with the Supreme Lord. And because we have forgotten, then great personalities like Srila Prabhupada would come and open us our eyes to the real dharma. And then when we receive this mercy, what should we do? Not go in some corner like some greedy person says, I got my greatness, now I'm going to enjoy. No. You take up the spirit of Srila Prabhupada. Go out there and share that with others. So of course this month we are doing a Transcendental Book Marathon. And we get very much enthused and compete with each other who is going to distribute the most books. So it is okay. Personally myself, I think that the marathon is not an affair of one day, one week, one month. The moment you receive Krishna consciousness, your marathon begins. Because you have been given the causeless mercy of the Lord. Now you must take up this and go out and give to others. Not 1 month. Because in 1 month, how many books are you going to distribute? 1,000? 100,000? 1 million? Is that all? That's 7 billion people on this planet. All hankering to receive the mercy. Why don't we think, every day is a marathon. Every day I must go and give this to Krishna consciousness to all. That is a true spirit of appreciating the causeless mercy which we have received. If you do not appreciate that and think this is only a 1 month marathon business, then we are under illusion. But of course we are so conditioned that we, in order to encourage and enthuse us, then we create a hype. The month of December. In the West, Christmas. Let us go and do Christmas marathon. In India, Gita Jayanti. Let's take up the spirit. But this knowledge has to be given every day to everyone. It is supposed to be a one lifetime marathon. Because the moment we receive Krishna consciousness, our marathon begins. And we should take up the spirit that what I do today is to my credit. What I can do tomorrow may be to my credit. Because I don't know if I'm here tomorrow. But today I know I'm here. And specifically today, now I'm here. What I can do now is more important than what I can do 2 hours later. Two hours later I may be victim of Yamaraj and gone. Then I can make big plans. Tomorrow I'll go and distribute 500 Gitas. Why not today? Why wait for tomorrow? Because tomorrow may never come. Today. So I feel very strongly that book distribution is the mission of Srila Prabhupada, to give Krishna consciousness to all. And if we have any appreciation of what Srila Prabhupada has given us as the greatest gift, then we should take up the same spirit of Srila Prabhupada. And don't care for so much bodily comforts or your own comfort zones. Go out there and give out Krishna consciousness. Of course, our 5 minutes, 10 minutes preaching will not be that much effective as giving someone the transcendental book, because these books are like self-effulgent knowledge which they can carry and they can read. And we have heard from many, many, many different devotees who have come to Krishna consciousness simply by reading Srila Prabhupada's books. I can tell you my own example. When I was in England, I had no connection with India. My only connection with India is that my grandfather was born in India. But after that, we were born outside of India. So really, we don't have any connection saying I'm an Indian. Even today, when I come to the airport, they say I'm a foreigner. I say, look at my skin color. It's just like yours. I speak your same language. But they say, no, your passport says you're not Indian. You're a British. You're a foreigner. So I have no connection. But somehow, I had pride. I'm an Indian. And of course, somehow by Krishna's grace, our family was very much Krishna devotees for many, many generations. So I'm also very proud now. I'm a Krishna devotee. I'm walking down in the streets of London, coming back from my school, and some wonderful Vaishnava came to me. And he was white-bodied Vaishnava. And he came to me and said, take this book. And I looked at him and said, you want to give me something which already I have? Can't you see? I'm a Hindu. I'm born Hindu. I'm an Indian. I know Krishna. What you white people can teach me about Krishna? That was my pride and arrogance speaking. And he said, no, you take this book. I said, no. These books are not for us. It's for you people. And he insisted. And finally I thought, with my Indian pride, I'm an Indian, he's a white guy. He's begging. Let me give him some money. So I had £1 note in those days. Now it's coins. So I gave him £1 note, which was my dinner money. Said, here, take with pride. I'm giving you. You're a beggar, but I'm a master. I gave him £1. Then he said, take this book. I said, I don't want this book. He said, no, since our Guru Maharaj has said that if you give something to Krishna, then you must receive something. So you must get this book. You must take. So he followed me almost like 50 yards down the road and pestered me to take the book. I said, I gave you the money, what more you want? No, you take this book. I said, okay, took the book, put it in my bag, and went home and just left the book on one corner and continued with my maya. And for a few months that book was just lying on the side of the in the one corner of the room. So I was sitting there watching TV on Monday night. Nothing exciting happening, so I said, somehow my glance went on the book, and I said, let me check what this book is all about. I started reading the book. And I read the whole Ishopanishad. And it was 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm finishing the book. And I said, wow, this book is something unique. because in a whole night I could not put the book down. Because I was lost in time now. I thought it was maybe an hour or so of reading book. But I read the whole book, and it was 6 o'clock in the morning. And my mother comes down and says, "So, ready for school?" I said, "What do you mean school? I haven't gone to sleep yet." She said, "Look at your watch. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. Get ready. Take a shower and get out of here." And then say, as usual, mother asks, "What do you want this morning? Tea or coffee?" I said, "Mom, forget tea and coffee. In this book it says it's intoxication." And my mother was completely shocked, because from as far as I can remember, as a child, maybe as a 2-3 year old, I was drinking milk. And after that, I hated milk. I never drank milk. So as far as my living memory, I can't remember how far back when I gave up drinking milk. But tea and coffee was excellent for me. It was great stuff for me. I was drinking like 5-6 cups of coffee or tea a day. And my mother was completely shocked when I told her, "Forget this tea and coffee business, I want milk." Because here Prabhupada is saying milk is nourishing the brain. And tea and coffee intoxication. And then after that I said, okay, I went to school. And then the next day I was contemplating, and then saying, "I must find out more about this." And I went to our Berry Place temple, London. And then I met some devotees there. And then I connected with the devotees. And after that I said, "Forget this material life nonsense. This person here..." Of course, that time I didn't know too much about Srila Prabhupada. Jai Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari. Didn't know so much about Srila Prabhupada, but only what I read in his Upanishad and the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. That is all I know. So I'm inquiring more and more, and said, "I want to give my life to this person." Why? Because he has opened my darkened eyes now. And I was thinking I was a great devotee. Born Hindu, born in Krishna family. But that was just an illusion. You don't know anything about Krishna consciousness. Drinking tea and coffee and indulging in Maya, what kind of devotee are you? But here Prabhupada shows who is a true devotee. And because of that devotee, who I thought was some white-bodied person, what does he know? But because of his persistence, that I must take that book, I was able to come to Krishna consciousness and saved from the drowning ocean of this material world simply by Prabhupada and that one Vaishnava who simply took Prabhupada's instruction that go out and distribute these books, save the living entities. So I feel now greatly fortunate that devotee saved me from drowning in this material world. Otherwise I would have gone on all my life with full of arrogance and pride, "I am a devotee of Krishna." And at the time of death, what do I remember? Zero. And take another birth and suffer more in this material world, birth after birth after birth. But that one Vaishnava, and he also became a devotee because some another Vaishnava showed compassion to him, and he became a devotee. And he took to the true spirit that I have to go and distribute these books because this is what Srila Prabhupada desired the most. He said, "We can build big, big temples. We can do very elaborate pujas. But giving someone a book, a Bhagavad Gita, a Srimad Bhagavatam, or many of the other literature Srila Prabhupada has written, will save that soul from drowning. And it is far greater to save one person than I say build 10 temples. You can build, many people are building all over. You can see Juhu. In 70s when Prabhupada started here, all places barren, nothing here. Today there are buildings, 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 buildings and buildings. But how many of those people are saved? Buildings can go on being building. They can build many, many buildings. But the book is the real building, is the real temple, because this is where Krishna can be found. See, when we come to the temple, we see the beautiful form of the Lord. We appreciate the Lord very much. We bow down. We offer prayers. And then we are forgetful of it. But when you carry this book, you're carrying Krishna with you. And then Krishna every so often will prompt you, "Hey, open this book." Just like I was sitting in my room watching garbage nonsense on TV, and somehow Krishna told him in my heart, why are you wasting your time? Look there, see that book. I picked the book up. He said, now don't just pick the book, open the book, read these words. And those words penetrated into my heart and opened my eyes and said, this is the real life. Surrender to the Supreme Lord. This is your real business. Nothing else. So these books, Prabhupada, are dynamites waiting to explode in people's hearts and show them the real light and take them out of darkness. So these marathons are okay. I'm not against marathons, but what I like to see is a lifetime marathon. Each one of us must commit, go out there and give Krishna consciousness to everyone. You know, not just one day, 2 day, 1 month. Prabhupada said our warehouse should be full of books. The godown should be never empty of books. And as soon as you distribute those books, fill it all up again and go out and give. 7 billion living entities waiting for this mercy. Are we going to go and give them this mercy? Or are we going to become greedy in one little corner saying, I'm saved, I'm okay. Let the others drown, who cares? And Krishna says, if that is your attitude, you will also be drowning along with them. So we should take up this spirit. You don't have to be a great scholar or a great salesman. So just simply be sincere in your heart and say, excuse me, please take this book. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just take this book. That is our only business. And when we are not doing book distribution, we take the shelter of the holy names and chant the Maha Mantra and beg to the Ram Prabhu that please allow me to go out there and give this message to all. Simply distribute these books. This is our business. If we do that, we will become fully absorbed in transcendental bliss. That is why Prabhupada says, chant Hare Krishna, be happy. But if you want to be happy, then this is what is going to give you the bliss. Because when you see the living entities coming out of this ocean and running towards our centers to take shelter, then that is greatest bliss. You will feel so happy that somehow you are of some use to Krishna and Prabhupada. Otherwise, what is our value? Zero. So if you really want to please Srila Prabhupada, really want to please Krishna, and really experience the transcendental bliss, then we should go out there, not today, not tomorrow, but every living day we have till our last breath, and then give out these books. That is our business. Just give out these books. That is going to create the transcendental revolution in this world, which will allow us to create Vaikuntha on this planet. This morning we heard a wonderful news that yesterday in Russia, they came to their senses and declared that Bhagavad Gita is a bona fide literature and it is of great value and it is not some demoniac literature. And the world has seen that. Now I think that this is some transcendental Mahaprabhu's Leela to show the bright jewel of Gita to the world. And he used some demoniac character in small, insignificant town in Russia to expose the real gem to the world. So let us take that spirit and show the world now. This is the true gem. This is the real diamond which is going to adorn your heart. Not some crystal which costs $1 million or $2 million. Maybe Bhagavad Gita, which is 120 rupees or 90 rupees in different language. That is the real diamond will adorn your heart and free you from the clutches of this suffering. So I will not take any more time. Thank you very much for allowing me to share some of my thoughts on Krishna consciousness. If anybody has any questions or comments, please feel free. We have 5 minutes maybe. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Hmm.
the entire movie of the Hare Krishna people over and over and over and over again.
That is not something which is mundane and material. By Yadubara's greatness, he put something wonderful. And what was in that movie? It was simply the Lord and his devotees. And to see the Lord and his devotees over and over and over, either in the temples, in the streets, or in the movie, it is not a mundane activity. But what is produced in the garbage theaters here, that is mundane and useless. So my point was that if watching those things will not bring you anything.
Of course.
But of course, and watching devotees is glorious.
And let it be known that Srila Prabhupada wrote to Yadubara Prabhu to make Krishna conscious films the most popular films, which is what we're trying to do.
Of course, there are different mediums Srila Prabhupada encouraged. First and foremost is our books. Secondly, according to different devotees, Srila Prabhupada said that, of course, Yadubara's great knowledge and ability to make wonderful movies. Of course, if he makes wonderful movies about Krishna consciousness, they will be very glorious. At the same time, Prabhupada said in England that the Western world is very much interested in dramas. So our devotees should perform dramas. So he introduced Bhaktivedanta players in those days and said, yes, you must go all over the world and perform dramas to depict beautiful pastimes of the Lord. So these, of course, are wonderful activities. And these activities, according to one's ability, we should use that to enlighten others to come to Krishna consciousness. So I have no problems with that. But first and foremost, I think, is that the books are the most important. Because a movie we can see, a drama we can see, but a book will stay with us for life. As I said, my own experience, that book was lying there for a few months. But somehow Krishna in my heart told me, pick up that book, open the pages and read. When I started reading that, then I found that this is the real business of my life. This is my real dharma. And like that, I'm sure many, many wonderful devotees around the world have many, many wonderful experiences when they have received these books and how they change their lives. I'll share one story of one devotee. A butcher in England, in London specifically, he had his shop and he was slaughtering, of course he wasn't slaughtering, but he was cutting pieces of meat and selling, in his butchery. And just outside his shop was the usual, the British way of disposing garbage. It was a trash can attached to one of the poles, lamp poles, and people would put their garbage in there. So some person down the road received a Krishna book. And just like me, the devotee must insist, you take this book, you take this. So he took the book and then walked down the road and just trashed it in the trash can in front of his shop. So this butcher, while he was chopping, he saw someone dumping a book. So he said, let me go and see what is this book about. He picked the book up and he saw the picture of Krishna on the front, on Krishna book. So he took it in his shop and left it there. After finishing his business of the day, he took the book and went home and started reading the book. And he was so completely mesmerized by Krishna book that forget his business, he came to the temple and said, I want to know more about this Krishna consciousness business. And he became a devotee. He gave up his butchery. Now butchery, you can consider such a sinful activity, but Krishna is looking at everyone. He wants to save every soul. He said, here, look, this is in a trash can. He picked up a Krishna book. And this book changed his life and he became a devotee. So like that, there are many wonderful stories how books reach different people in different ways. Krishna wants to give every one of us opportunity to get out of this darkness. And by mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he created this transcendental book distribution program by which we can be a part to give out these books. And that is why I say marathons are okay, but from the moment we receive Krishna consciousness, our marathon begins till our last breath. And Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. So our samadhi comes when we have finished our life. Then we peacefully leave this body and go to our onward journey to assist Prabhupada somewhere else in another universe. But books must go out, not short-term business. It is a lifetime business. So thank you very much for sharing your thoughts, Prabhu. Okay, any more comments? Okay, I think it's time to go out and give the mercy to all. So before we can go and give mercy to all, we need little mercy in our stomach. So the prasadam is waiting for you all. So I thank you all very much for allowing me to share my thoughts with you. And please take this mission very seriously. Go out and give millions of books, not today, but for the rest of your life. And this is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Transcendental Book Distribution Program ki. Jai Gaur Premanandi.